Do you really want to hear what I say? We did want to just go over one thing with the with this past month's classes that we had. The mystery of unity and diversity was the overall topic, because everything kind of feeds into what this lecture and class are going to be like. So the first Sunday was the basics of unity, the cause of diversity. And we looked at the idea that everything is spirit, and this is what unifies us. And the idea of becoming knowledgeable that we all are spirit, that is the one way that we will look at this idea of unity. And the second panelist spoke about the cause of diversity, and that mainly was about the idea of separateness, this what's called in the philosophy the sin of separateness, because considering the whole idea of theosophy is to develop the nucleus of universal brotherhood, if one has this sin of separateness, that's not going to happen. And then the third one was obstacles to the realization. And we can, when we think of obstacles, we think the main one would be that idea of personality. That if we focus on our the outward expression of our personality, again, that's an obstacle to the realization of unity. And last week we looked at the self-realization of unity, and that's more of an inward expression, because everything being spirit, it has to come from within outward. So in order for the outward, which is what we're going to be looking at today, for the outward to be spiritual in nature, the inward has to be that way as well. And then, of course, today we're looking at unity in action. And we want to put out this idea that unity in action is not just about you and me. And it is cosmic in nature, because if we're looking at, when we look at unity, if we're not talking about the human race, if we're looking at other, the lower kingdoms, then unity seems to carry on an entirely different aspect. If cosmically, if we're looking at unity, we know that in our solar system, that all the planets to function properly, for us to be able to stay and stand upright on Earth, there's gravity that holds us all together. And we spin around the sun, and all the planets spin around the sun. And then the sun has its its path that it has to go around. So all these things have to work in unison. There has to be a unity in order for all of these incredible processes to function. And then when we come down to the earth, we're looking at this idea of cycles, because when we're thinking of unity in action, cycles fit in there, because we're looking at the seasons, we're looking at night and day. So in order for us to be unified as well, we all undergo the effect of these cycles. And then, of course, we're looking at the human. And this one of the cycles we have to look at in action is how our bodies are acting, because we have all these organs within us. And without those organs functioning in unity, the action we can become sick. So it's important then that in order for our form to function, to have this unity in action, we have to take care of it. And one thing in regards to, we forgot to mention, in regards to the unity in action on the earth, when we look at the lower kingdoms, like the packs, the wolf packs, they function together in order to hunt. And they say that if just one wolf gets separated, that its chances of survival aren't as good as if it's with the pack, because the pack is unified. Excuse us. So one would think then that this idea of unity would be an easy, simple thing to put forth, because, oh yeah, you know, unity. Yeah, we all get together. We all, you know, get along, that kind of thing. But theosophically speaking, it is not that simple. We can also look at this whole idea of karma and reincarnation being involved, because with unity in action, depending upon the action or lack thereof, then karmically that's going to affect somebody's future. So there's that idea that if we don't act, what is it, a deed of mercy? We forget what that phrase is. We can't remember. But inaction in a deed of mercy is a sin, kind of a thing. So it's important for us that if we see a need, that we follow through with it. So karma comes into play because of what we do or what we don't do. So when people learn to think and feel with a spiritual knowledge and the lack of separateness, then good works and charity will empower this idea of unity in action. Because spiritual knowledge, as we said initially, is one of the ways that we do bind ourselves together. Because if we realize that the person sitting next to us, the person that we're looking at on a Zoom screen, they are spiritual beings, which binds us together in that idea of unity. And there are two important ideas that we need to look at. One is duty, and the other is motive. So duty is spoken of a lot in the Bhagavad Gita. And mainly what the idea of duty is that you do what comes to you, because what is coming to you is based on your karma. And we do it because, and without expecting anything in return. So that goes in with the motive piece as well, which we'll get to. And duty is that which is due humanity, especially the poor, more helpless than ourselves. And of course, we always have to include the lower kingdoms, because we are seeing now that if we don't pay attention to the lower kingdoms, much of the unity in regards to how our earth will function can become destroyed, so to speak, because we need to acknowledge that the lower kingdoms, which are affected by our impress of our life, of the lives that make up our body, can affect all the lower kingdoms, which in turn, it's like a vicious circle. If we don't take care of the lower kingdoms, nature unaided fails. So if we don't take care of the lower kingdoms, if we don't impress the lives that are leaving our bodies on a regular basis and can affect the lower kingdoms, then it'll come back and will be affecting negatively as well. And doing for others first and then doing for ourselves. for attainment of happiness for others before ourselves. We have to think of others first. It is said that if a rich person gives a poor person some money and they feel good, it's like it's extra money that they had that really, you know, the motive there, it, you know, may be, oh, I'm going to give this poor man something, he's going to think better of me. But it's when somebody who doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't have a lot of food, and they end up giving food or money to a poor person, then that is the right motive to do that. One of the things we always, when we first started coming to meetings, was how, you know, even if the outcome is the same, if the motive is different between two people, one is of a higher nature and one is more of a personal nature, what difference does it make? But Theosophy says it means a lot, because thoughts have power. Thoughts can affect us, it can affect others. So, and it'll affect karma as well. So even if no action is taken, that it will still, if you're thinking about it, it will present itself later in a future life. And Mr. Wadia writes about how, though people want to help others, to render services with thoughts of creating service organizations. And we know now with the pandemic and a lot of the awful weather we've been having, there have been a lot of people that are wanting to help. There have been new service organizations that have been formed, which are wonderful. But we also know that down the line, some of these service organizations have become very materialistic. And so his thinking is to do it more of a personal way. And in the key, it talks about charity as well. That giving to a person rather than giving to an organization will often carry more weight than if it's just given to a big group, then who knows where the money's going to go. So as diverse as the people involved are, the unifying keystone is the action of compassion. And diversity is not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of people think that, but if a diverse group of people come together, and we spoke about this in one of the meetings that, I mean, in regards to the Zoom meetings, there are a lot of people from different backgrounds, different ages, just all sorts of differences, yet we're all coming together for the one cause of gaining this knowledge of this ancient wisdom. So being diverse can actually be a good thing, because it brings a richness to whatever group that is, and will actually help unify. And bringing all these people together in different organizations and groups can definitely help in regards to unity in action, because more people come with different ideas, different perspectives, and it can help in regards to putting forth this idea. So, motive. What does motive have to do with it? We briefly covered that. Well, the thing is with motive, we don't act in isolation. I mean, you would have to be a hermit in order to do that. So, we do act together. I mean, we know with karma that that's an idea of karma, and our evolution is affected by that too. That what our words and actions without the right motives, we do not act in isolation. So the whole idea is acting not for personal gain. That's so important, doing our duty and doing it for not getting anything out of it. Doing something, you know, if you're putting a tip in a tip jar, you don't have to say, I put a dollar in there to get a thank you from the barista. You can just put it in there and forget about it because you're doing, we know that people are suffering now and they need to be helped along. So some of the things we can do are just, you know, smiling and how are you? That's a nice shirt, that kind of a thing. Just to know that somebody has acknowledged their existence. So do as much as you can, your own center of power, social effort unifies everything. So if we, this idea of your, of developing your center of power, if you're doing a lot of good, it populates your astral, it becomes positive and can attract others of like mind. So it's important, again, with our motive, that it's a positive one and will affect the astral and will be a positive effect on others. They will see it in you if it is done in a consistent spiritual way. And we talk about life's meditation. When speaking of unity in action, if we can develop a specific, and when we talk about life's meditation, it's not the same way as if we're meditating in the morning or at night, but it affects it. Developing a creed, developing ideas that you want to live by, that are spiritual, that are compassionate. These are ways that we can put unity into action on a consistent basis. So our life's meditation, of course, can be anything that you want, but to be positive, to be spiritual, and always, always to do it with knowledge. So we've spoken off and on in meetings about this phrase, unity, study, and work. Usually it is put forth in regards to theosophical work, but we can certainly bring it out into one's life when we're looking at this idea of unity, study, and work and your life's meditation. So study is getting all the knowledge that you can from the right sources. It doesn't just have to be from theosophical sources, as long as they're rich in knowledge and maybe some different ways to develop your spirituality. And there's other things that one can do in regards to reading the theosophical books to gain the knowledge that we need to put forth, to build from the inside that spiritual unity and to put it forward into action. And that action we call work, and it's helping others. It's putting forth kindness and compassion and helping others as they need it and not expecting anything in return. So everything comes together that we've been talking about, the right motive to do your duty. That's part of work, and that's based on study. To have the right knowledge, to have the right ideas, and to bring that full circle that comes to unity, unity, study, and work. And by doing study and work appropriately and spiritually with the highest ideals in mind and motives, then unity in action will automatically flow from the person who is focusing on a life's meditation of unity, study, and work. And the whole idea with knowledge is that knowledge will lead to, lack of knowledge leads to ignorance. And ignorance will cause these actions to be done in without the proper motive. It will, they will be done because of what somebody wants to get out of helping somebody else. So there is a great need, as we know, for proper education, which is a whole study in itself. We also wanted to go over another idea of action, of unity in action. And in the Voice of the Silence on page 52, she's talking about the virtues. And if we can follow these virtues, then this is another way of developing knowledge, of developing the proper motives, of developing the internal spiritual nature so that it will affect unity in action. And the first one was Dana, the key of charity and love immortal. Two, Sheila, the key of harmony in word and act, the key that counterbalances the cause and the effect and leaves no further room for karmic action. And the third one is Shanti, patient sweet that naught can ruffle. Virga, indifference to pleasure and to pain, illusion conquered, truth alone perceived. And then Virya, the dauntless energy that fights its way to supernal truth out of the mire of lies terrestrial. Dhyana, whose golden gate once open leads the Narjal toward the realm of Sat, eternal, and its ceaseless contemplation. And the last one is Prajna, the key to which makes of a man a god, creating him a bodhisattva, son of the Dhyanis. These sound like impossible ideas and actions to perform. But even if we read them and just try a little bit at a time to understand and act on these, just like with the Kuan Yin Pledge, these high ideals work on the inward, but they are expressed by unity in action on the outward. So we do want to put a question out to the group here. We're almost finished. And we had a question that we were just wondering, we don't know that there's even any answer to it, or if there is an answer, we don't think it's right or wrong. So when we're talking about diversity in action, unity in action. So if we compare diversity with unity, and if someone is acting in a way that is, you know, they want to help, they want to be of service, are we looking at an intended type of unity or an unintended? Can somebody be very compassionate and helpful, but not have the idea of unity such as the way we're talking about it? Or is it something that is actually done purposefully? Or is it just something that comes from inward outward? So we don't think that being diverse will actually be a bad thing, as we spoke of. It just depends. So we just want to read one more quote at the end, and we will then be then we will be done. And this is from The Key on page 233. The inquirer says, how then should theosophical principles be applied so that social cooperation may be promoted and true efforts for social amelioration be carried on? And the theosophist answers, let me briefly remind you what these principles are. And these are three principles that are very interesting. She calls it universal unity and causation, human solidarity, the law of karma, reincarnation. These are the four links of the golden chain, which should bind humanity in one family and one universal brotherhood. And we can look at universal brotherhood as being the same thing as unity. So these ideas, unity and causation, human solidarity, karma and reincarnation, these are some of the ideas that we need to think about when we're looking at unity in action. So we'll take questions now. Yes, SL. Unmute.
Last week in the discussion on self-realization of unity, one of the ideas that came up was the importance of concentration or one-pointedness. Does that power of concentration, one-pointedness, have any relevance to the outward action of unity, unity in action? Do we need to be focused in order to do that?
Yes, because the outward expression of unity in action has to do with what's going on inside. So if somebody is concentrating and being focused and not getting distracted about things, then it will automatically flow outward into unity in action. It being one-pointed is definitely the need in regards to this. Because if we're scattered, then what happens, what comes out, what kind of action may not be as focused or beneficial as if we had been focused. And we think MDW had his hand up a while ago. Yes, MDW, unmute.
Yes. There's a saying that that's found in the writings that universal brotherhood is a fact in nature. So doesn't that point to the fact that there is diversity, there is unity in diversity? Because we'll look at the bodies in which we inhabit. There's diversity. There's all the kingdoms of nature are incorporated into this being that we use, because you know, we are not the bodies, we're not the ideas, we're not the feelings, we're the observer of all of that. So unity is a fact in nature, and so is diversity. Mm-hmm. So where does the problem lie?
Oh, where does the problem? It's in our mind, in our lower mind. It's the fact that some people don't like the diversity, and they want everybody to look and act the same. So in order for universal brotherhood to occur, these ideas of diversity have, with some people, have to be changed to a more spiritual. So what if somebody acts differently, looks different, that kind of thing? And it, all we need to do is take a look at nature. When we're speaking of diversity, you know, the idea of all the different types of animals, carnivores, herbivores, they're all different, but they're all needed. There's all the different types of plants, and these are all diverse, but they work together. It's like one needs the other. When a tree dies, it's not good to clean up what from that tree. You leave the tree there, it starts to decompensate, and the other animals and bugs and whatnot, they thrive off of these. They're used as dens. So all this, we think nature is a perfect example of how diversity and unity come together for universal brotherhood. And if we leave it, I mean, we have to affect it in some way, but when we're looking at certain actions with nature, we need to leave nature to function on its own, but we help it by impressing with positive thoughts and positive ideas. So universal brotherhood in regards to humans is accepting people where they are, accepting that maybe somebody is poorer or richer than us, but we support them no matter what. And to be happy and to smile, even though we're all wearing masks, when we smile, you can see it in your eyes. Like the eyes kind of squint up and get a little wrinkled here. So you can tell when somebody's smiling. So we need to do that. And you know, that's all. If somebody else wants to add to it. TK. Unmute.
Could we ask the chair to say that last question again, that last of the talk?
The last
part of the talk was a certain question that you kind of left over.
Oh, right. Unity, can it be intended or unintended, or can it be both? Because some people do it just because that's part of their nature, but then others, it's almost like a decision. Well, I'm going to be nice, kind of a thing. But we just think that sometimes when we're looking at the idea of unity, that it just comes naturally to some people, and others it has to be a conscious choice.
Right. So, diversity in nature, I mean, it's there. It's obvious. It's a requirement. And, you know, just imagine how delightful an orchestra would be if only there were oboes playing, if it was an orchestra all playing the same tune. That's not an orchestra. So when the musician is practicing, he's one-pointed preparing for the orchestra because there's 100 different instruments. But it's natural to know that he or she is, you know, he or she is obviously looking forward to being a participant in the one purpose. So the very reason why they're doing this is to participate in the unity. Of course, there are those who are independent soloists, and that's a whole nother discussion, but out and about, really, you know, organizations where people naturally operate and work for the good of the organization rather than for the I, me, my, you know, if everybody's, the goal won't be achieved or the purpose for the organization won't be achieved. So we think it's very natural for all intents and purposes that people live their lives knowing there's a unity behind everything when they interact, even families, individuals in a family.
Mm-hmm. No, and unity gives strength because what a family was mentioned, if the family isn't unified, if everybody's going their own way and they're not really caring about what the other one is doing, then the strength of the family unit, the bonds, are not going to be there. And sometimes with a family, becoming unified it's done intentionally. And it probably should be done intentionally so that the children realize that there is a bond and a strength and support from the family. SL?
The expression of unity and action can be unintentional, if we mean by that intuitional, meaning it's a direct ray of buddhi or compassion acting on the inner personal nature. It's legitimate, it's real, it's sincere. HPB spoke of it being expressed in such individuals such as Father Damien, who she spoke of as a true theosophist, who may not have had any knowledge or understanding of theosophical ideas, but yet was acting on that real, true feeling of compassion. But when it's intentional, and it means with knowledge, with a certain motive, then the impact of that goes far beyond the particular person we're helping. The power of ideas has a greater influence when we do it, in other words, with intention, with the power of ideas, than just the person we're helping through the charity of our action. So we can inspire, it is said that we can inspire others to do such things through the intended and directed thought, the power of compassionate thought and intention.
Yes. While the question, that statement was being made, one of the people that came to mind in regards to that, we can't remember his name, but during the hurricane in, we think it was Puerto Rico, that one chef started up this incredible organization, and he was preparing thousands and thousands of food, different dishes for people, you know, hot meals rather than just some army rations. And he's developed this, and he wherever there's a catastrophe, he's there making food for people. And this was obviously done with intent, but it was, and talking about ideas, we think that his idea of doing this has spread. We think there are smaller organizations doing this now, but his intent was to help. He's giving all this food away free, and he's using the funds that he has on hand to help others, and he's not expecting anything in return. Yes, SL.
The previous contributor used the analogy of an orchestra. So we're thinking of an orchestra, and it was pointed out in the contribution. Not everyone's, they're all playing diverse instruments, and they're coming in different times. And the role of the orchestra leader there, the conductor, is to have a unity in action. You have all these different themes, and yet he's, or she is, creating harmony out of it. So when we're dealing with human beings, to carry forth that analogy, and they all have different ideas and different motives and intentions and diverse ways of looking at things, how do we, whether we're talking about a group or families or coworkers, how do we begin to establish unity in action when we're working with a group? How can we begin to establish that harmony so that the group is even unified in its action? Because groups together working in unity can accomplish much more than an individual.
Well, we guess it depends on the purpose and the group that is coming together, because we know that, especially if it's a big group, that you would probably need to have somebody in charge. Otherwise, you know, that unity, and we don't quite understand why that is that if there's not somebody in charge, that it may fall apart. J.S.
Well, isn't the United Lodge of Theosophists a prime example of this? If you look at our declaration that was read at the beginning of the meeting, there is no person in charge. That's not the basis for success or unity of the effort. The binding force is a common ideation and a common motivation based on principles, impartial, impersonal principles. There's no cult of personality, there's no power, prestige, hierarchy of organization. That's not the basis for the work. And there's a share, it's the same with AA, somebody just shared.
Yes, so we're thinking that if there is a common goal that people have together, we would think, it's such a hard question to answer because it depends on, we think, the purpose of the group, the size of the group, but ULT is smaller and we possibly can pursue the unity in that respect, but if it's a large group, like a couple hundred people, we would think there would have to be some type of leader, we think, if somebody else has. Yes, J.S.
A couple of shares came in, chats, and the one example is Alcoholics Anonymous, mm-hmm. Where the sessions, the meetings are run on a purely unified effort of the participants. And the other chat shared the fact that the Quakers are set up, and both of those function with a multitude of souls involved.
Okay, so we guess then that whole idea has to do with focus, purpose, and commitment to people, that if they want to follow along with these ideas to cooperate with each other. We're just about done, but we did want to read another quote to end the meeting from The Key, and it's on page 234. The back part of The Key is on practical theosophy, and there is a lot of really good information. We could probably have a meeting just on this one section. If the action of one reacts on the lives of all, and this goes along with what we were just talking about, that we have a group and trying to organize and get a focus. If the action of one reacts on the lives of all, and this is the true scientific idea, then it is only by all men becoming brothers and all women sisters, and by all practicing in their daily lives true brotherhood. So men and women coming together to function towards universal brotherhood and true sisterhood, that the real human solidarity or unity, which lies at the root of the elevation of the race can ever be attained. So she's talking about how it's important that unity in action is a fact, because it will affect our evolution because of our motive and our thinking, which lies at the root of the elevation of the race can never be attained. It is this action and interaction, this true brotherhood and sisterhood in which each shall live for all and all for each, which is one of the fundamental theosophical principles that every theosophist should be bound not only to teach, but to carry out in his or her individual life. So she's basically saying here that we need to be a beacon. We need to have the good thoughts, the compassion for others. And by making this our life's meditation, we will then attract others to do the same. So thank you very much, everybody. Meeting is over.